It can't be that simple. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, July the 18th, 2007.
Father, we're grateful for the chance that we have together in your name. Grateful for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, I pray as we come to your word today that you would open our minds and hearts to your truth, that you would grant to us insight and understanding. But Father, more than just our ability to comprehend, I pray that you would grant us courage and boldness to live out the truth that you reveal to us. That as you speak, we'll not just hear, we'll internalize, and then we'll seek to live and allow the truth of your word to shape us, to mold us, to cause us to be the kind of people that you desire us to be. All of this we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's part of the four spiritual laws, right? But there is that part of me that I hear that. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And I think, yeah, well, great. Is he ever going to let me in on it? Is he ever going to let me know what that is? I'd like to know some specifics. I'd like to know some details. I know you've got a wonderful plan, so what's wrong with letting me know exactly what that plan is? You ever feel that way? You ever have those times you just say, Lord, it's not that I don't trust you. It's not that I doubt you. But I just kind of like to know where we're going. I'd kind of like to know specifically what's out there in front of me. You ever have those times when you're just absolutely certain that you knew the will of God, and so you took that step of faith, and you ended up in a bigger mess than you were in to start with? And that is really frustrating. Lord, I really believe this to be your will. I'm confident. I prayed about it. I searched the scripture. I sought godly advice, and I was absolutely convinced in my heart of hearts that this was your will. So why did you let this happen to me? Lord, why did you let me travel down this road if this is the way it was going to be? You took that job, and all it brought you was heartache. You bought that house. It was your dream house. You just didn't know it was a money pit. You ever thought, what happened? You ever thought, Lord, you must have mumbled? Because I thought I heard you, but this can't possibly be your will. I'm trying to serve you. I prayed about it. I did all those things I was supposed to do. And yet, here I am. Here I sit in this mess. Do you ever think like that? Does that thought ever cross your mind? Well, it has mine. Because you and I live in a fallen world, and living in this fallen world, we have heartache and struggle. Our faith does not grant us immunity from the toil and strife of everyday life. We are on a journey. We are on a process of growing in Christ-likeness and becoming the kind of people God wants us to be. And there are times we struggle with our faith. Lord, I really do believe. Lord, I believe that you're in control. I believe you're in control of all things, and nothing that happens to me is an accident. But Lord, why? Why the struggle? Why did you lead me down this path? We know that God's sovereign. We don't question that. We don't really question that he has a plan for our lives. Our theology is pretty set there. We do understand. We do believe. It's just God couldn't possibly want us to spend our days groping through the darkness. But sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it feels like you might as well turn off all the lights and put blinders on me. I'd have just as much understanding then as I do now. Sometimes it feels that way. Though you know the Lord's presence, though you know his promise, though you're trusting in him, sometimes it's difficult. We're in the process. Began last time, several weeks back now, because of stuff that's been going on, in a study of discerning or discovering the will of God. How do I know what God wants of me? It's the question I most often ask in counseling. How do I know the will of God? How can I be certain that this is what God wants for me? This is the direction God wants me to take. Now, whether that certainty is related to who you're going to spend the rest of your life with, or what school you ought to go to, or whether you should accept that new job offer, or whether you should take your loved one off life support, we have questions we face every day. And some of those questions have profound repercussions. Some of them aren't earth-shaking kinds of decisions, but every one of them is important to us. And we really do want to know we're doing the will of God. But it's not always easy to know. There's a struggle. Here's my plan. When I figure this out, I'm going to write a book, make millions, and retire. There's only one flaw in my little plan. There is no formula. There is no program. There is no three steps to determine absolutely the will of God for our lives. How do we discern the will of God? Ray Pritchard puts it this way: knowing God's will is a journey, not a destination. And along the way, we sometimes are quite confused. And sometimes we're flat wrong about what God really wants for us. Isn't that a comforting word? It's a journey, not a destination, the will of God. And there are going to be times when I'm confused about it, and there are going to be times when I am just absolutely wrong. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but I want you to listen carefully to what I am saying. I am not saying you cannot know the will of God. I'm not suggesting that you're fighting a losing battle when you try to discern what God wants you to do in a given circumstance. All I'm saying is we need to look at this whole question from a different perspective. We need to approach it from a different direction. Said last time that I found very helpful Ray Pritchard's little book, Discovering the Will of God. And here is the refreshing thing I learned from him in that book. This is the key note of his book. This is the central thesis of his book. God wants you to know His will more than you want to know it. Therefore, He takes personal responsibility to see that you discover. See, that's the freeing thing. God wants me to know His will more than I want to know it. I mean, and there are times I really, really want to know it. Well, He's more interested in me learning His will than I am. Therefore, He takes it upon Himself to reveal it to you. So what does that mean in practical terms? It means that God is not playing games with us when it comes to His will. What it means is, contrary to the way most of us think, God doesn't play the shell game with His will. He doesn't sit down in front of us and say, okay, here are your options. Now, which one is my will? And He shakes them up and says, pick it. He didn't play that game with us. But now, you might not have thought of it exactly in those terms, but haven't you thought of it in that way? That I've got to do something and I've got to earn the right for me to know the will of God? As if God's hanging it above saying, no, come on, and pulling it away and getting you to do the jump and to jump through the hoop and to do everything just right, then He'll reward you with His will. That's not the way God works. He really does want us to know His will. He wants us to understand His leadership. In fact, the key to discerning the will of God is simply to know God. Understanding the will of God is the direct result of knowing Him and walking with Him. His will is His person. If I'm walking with God, I'll know His will. But not knowing in the sense that we typically think about it. And that's what I want to look at tonight. What motivates you as a Christian? What is it that causes you to really want to obey the will of God? Most of us sincerely do live in such a way and have as the desire of our heart to one day hear the Lord say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I wish I could say that that's always my motivation, but it's not. Because I'm a flawed, broken, sinful man. And at times, I want to know His will because it'll make me feel good. I want to know His will because it puts me on a level other people aren't. But the truth of the matter is, deep down, what I really long for is to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the problem is, I'm afraid that what I'm actually going to hear is, "Rod, that was interesting. That thing that you did was interesting, and you did it really well. It's just a shame you missed the whole point." I want to hear Him say, "Well done," but I worry that He's going to say, "You blew it." And that's part of what bothers us in trying to discern the will of God. We get so worried and so caught up. I don't want to make a mistake. And it paralyzes us. And I'm convinced that that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. I do not believe He wants us to live in a terrifying fear that we're going to mess up. So that we hesitate making our way through life hoping that we might get it right. I'm convinced that God wants His children to live in a love relationship with Him, not in fear. Because He has not given us a spirit of fear, Paul said, but of love and of a sound mind. So I cannot believe that it is the will of God that He hangs His will over us in such a way that we live in absolute fear, "I'm going to get something wrong." You ever been around a child who's constantly worried that dad's going to yell or mom's going to be upset or they're going to go off because they messed up? That child doesn't have a life. That child lives their life cringing in front of every adult, afraid that they're going to get slapped down. And yet, often, that's the way we think our Heavenly Father is with us. And I think it is a false, corrupt picture. Last time we learned that if you want to do the will of God, He will guide you. If it is your sincere desire and the desire of your heart to obey God, then do what you think best. Trust His leadership. Trust His guidance. Trust His sovereignty. I guess what I'm saying is, it comes down to this. Relax. Relax. And trust Him. He knows your heart. He knows your desire. He is your loving, gracious, merciful Father. So relax. You do understand that when I say relax, it doesn't mean, "Oh, don't worry about it and don't give it a thought." That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying don't live your life in abject fear that you're going to get something wrong. Trust your Father and live in relationship with Him. Okay, God leads, but how does He do it? Give me some details. Well, there's not a formula. I can tell you this. And this is something that has become a growing conviction in my heart. I am absolutely convinced, and it is the conviction of my heart, that the will of God will be done. Period. Do you have any idea how freeing that is? The will of God's going to be done, so I can't mess it up. I can't destroy it. I can't destroy what God's trying to do in the world, what God's trying to do in my family, because I did something. Now, most of us understand I don't get credit when God does something. But we turn around and think we get the blame when He doesn't do something. The will of God is going to be accomplished in the earth. Relax. Trust Him. Seek His will. By all means, you must walk in obedience, but I am saying we need to relax. That's not a blanket excuse for disobedience or laziness. we will give an answer for the life that we live. But living in the will of God does not demand that you live constantly on edge or that your days are spent agonizing over every decision and every implication of every decision that you make. Part of understanding what it means to know the will of God is to remember the invitation of Christ. What is it that Christ invites us to? Listen to the words carefully from Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's the invitation of Christ? Come to me. And when you come to me, what are we going to do? You will learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Do you understand that language? Do you understand the image or the analogy that he's giving? As you worked a team of oxen, you had an older ox and a younger ox. And you took the older, experienced ox and you put him on one side and you put the younger in the yoke with him and he went alongside and learned. And Christ is saying, my yoke is easy. The burden is light. What he's saying is, it fits well. And you walk with me. Now, can you see the implication of that about how do I know the will of God? As a child of God, as someone who's come to faith in Christ, as someone who's put my trust and my reliance on Him, I walk with Him. And that's central to my discerning and understanding the will of God. If I'm yoked with Christ and I'm walking in obedience with Him, I think I'm pretty safe in doing what He wants me to do. So it's looking at it from a different perspective. Knowing the will of God demands coming alongside Christ and learning from Him. It is restful, it is gentle, and it fits well. And what I want to cover tonight are some things from the second chapter of Pritchard's book that I think are extremely helpful. He deals with four myths about the will of God. Four things that we associate with the will of God that are just wrong, that keep us confused and keep us from the rest that this passage talks about. First myth. Myth number one, God wants you to know the future. That's a myth. Where do you get it from Scripture? Where do you get it in Old Testament, New Testament, anywhere that God wants you to know the future? Now, certainly I want to know the future. I mean, I really do. I'm the type of person, I'm a coward, basically. So I want to know what's out there. You know, I like to go places I've been. I like to be in environments where I'm used to it and I'm comfortable. So I want to know the future. I want to know what's around the corner just so I can prepare myself. And here's how I rationalize it. God, I know that you know all things. Lord, you have all knowledge. You have all wisdom. You know the end from the beginning. I am your child. It's no problem for you to let me know what's coming. And God indeed may be gracious, and God may be merciful, and He may give me some insight, but He is under no obligation to tell me what the future is. Now, I certainly know certain things about the future. He's made it clear. He wins. There is a glorious home in heaven. He has promised His presence. He has promised His provision. There are a lot of things that you and I already know about the future. But what I'm talking about is I want to know details about my personal future. And sometimes I'm hung up on understanding the will of God because of this issue about knowing the future. Here's the problem. If God is gracious and He gives me a little glimpse of what's out there in my future, I have an uncanny ability to fill in all the details. You know what the problem is? I do it with the accuracy of an Oklahoma weather forecast. I filled in all kinds of stuff that never comes about. Never happens. And you can spin your wheels and you can waste a lot of time in trying to discern the will of God because you are determined that part of that is for you to know the future. What's the perspective of the psalmist? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, what is the image there? What's the analogy that's clear in that passage? The light, the lamp, is a handheld lantern. And it is a light unto his path. The image that's portrayed by the psalmist is, I am on this dark, dangerous, curving road, and this light's the next step. See, my problem is, I want street lights where I can see at a distance. When God's plan for my life is I understand the next step, and I trust Him for the next step, and I trust Him for the next step, and He leads me into His will. Does God know the future? Yes. Is He obligated to let me in on it? No. In fact, Moses tells us in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. You know, how many times have you said to someone, well, we'll understand someday? We may not. You ever told somebody trying to comfort them, you know, when they're going through a hard time, you know, someday when we're with the Lord, we're going to understand all this. It's a nice idea, but we're never promised that. The fact of the matter is, if I were able to understand all that, I would be God. And He's already told me, you're not. You never will be. I used to love Dr. Strickland, was one of my favorite teachers at OBU, one of my favorite teachers ever. But I can remember she'd be lecturing in the prophets or Life of Christ or Life of Paul, and she'd come across the passage and she'd look up the class and say, it's on my list. And we knew what that meant. She said, I have this list of questions I'm going to ask the Lord. And it's getting pretty long. And so one day she's lecturing, she said, it's on the list. And she went on for a sentence and she stopped. And then she just stood there a minute and looked at the class and she said, you know, I'm really starting to think that when I'm in His presence, my list isn't going to matter anymore. That's true. If I'm in the presence of God, if I'm in the presence of the true and living God who spoke the world into existence, who is there by my side, I'll have a lot of other things on my mind rather than I don't understand that or that or why that. And I'm not belittling what we go through because I have profound questions about why. But in comparison to who He is, it really doesn't matter. And as far as discerning the will of God, His will is that I learn to trust Him for today. That I take that next step that He makes clear. And I worry about the next step and the next step. I don't worry about a mile away or 5 miles down the road. I trust Him with that. I'll take the next step. I believe that there is a blueprint. I believe God in His wisdom, I believe God in His knowledge, has a blueprint of everybody's life. The only problem is, I don't know any way we get a copy of it. See, I really do. Here's how strongly I believe in God's sovereignty and His knowledge. I believe that God knows exactly what I'm going to do on January the 5th, 2036, at 4 o'clock. The secret things belong to Him. I can ask Him, Lord, what am I going to do on that day? And He's probably going to say, none of your business. Trust me today. Don't worry about 30 years from now. Walk with me today. God's will is that I follow Him today. Corrie ten Boom said that every experience we have is God's preparation for our future that only He knows. That's how we as believers are to live, and that's how we're to look at the will of God. That nothing comes into my life, that nothing comes across my path, but that God has allowed it, and He has allowed it for a reason. So I trust it as His will, And I do the best I can with how I understand it right now, and I leave the future in His hands. Knowing God's will always involves taking life as it comes, day by day, moment by moment, step by step. Now, that doesn't mean I don't plan for the future. That doesn't mean that I spend all my money now and I don't set anything back. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying when it comes to discerning the will of God, I worry about where I am right now and am I obedient today. And guess what? If I'm obedient today, and if tomorrow I'm obedient that day, and if the day after that I'm obedient that day, guess what? I'm in the will of God. So I'm going to trust Him. And when I have to make decisions that are going to affect my future, I make the best decision I can today, given the information I have, and I trust the future to Him. See, the thing is, God wants us to learn to trust Him. That's what it comes down to. That's why I said knowing the will of God comes back to knowing God. And I'm convinced the reason He doesn't tell us the future, He says, I want you dependent on Me. So walk that way. In dependence on Me. Myth number two. God wants you to have 100% certainty before you make any decision. You know, I went to seminary in Fort Worth. And as we got close to, you know, you're about 6 months, 8 months from graduation, you start talking about, and I'm getting my name out there, hoping a church calls me, and you start talking about that first church or whatever. I knew guys working at the seminary or working at the bookstores around the campus who had graduated 4, 5, and 6 years previously. And I would ask him, are you taking classes? Are you working on a doctorate? No. Why are you here? I'm just waiting for God to open the door. 6 years after graduation, you're still waiting? I think these are the folks who say, I have to know 100% it's the will of God before I move. I need to make sure it's God's will before I move. Well, if that's the case, I don't think you're going to make any decisions. Because I don't think we can ever be 100% absolutely certain about anything. I don't know about you, but there have been those times when I was absolutely certain and it didn't work out real good. You think Noah understood 100% the will of God when he said build an ark? I think he was going, first, what's an ark? And then why? I think there are a whole lot of things he didn't know. And I think he struggled in his heart whether the whole time he's doing it. I don't know if I heard him or not because it's not raining. How about Abraham? What about Abram when God spoke to him and said, leave everything you know and go walk out in the desert and I'll tell you when you get there. Can you imagine that? Now, this unknown God was unknown to him at this point. He lived in the land of pagans, and best we can determine, his father was probably a pagan priest. Think he had 100% certainty when he took off? I think he was convinced in his heart that there was someone who was speaking to him and that he must obey, but he didn't understand 100%. How about Jacob? Did he know where things were going to end up? What about Moses? When God said, take my people out of Egypt, you think he understood 100% what that was all about? How about Daniel? You think Daniel was 100% certain those lions were going to say, hey, welcome. Make yourself at home here in our den. Put your feet up. Think he was certain about that? The life of faith means living with uncertainty even while I'm doing the will of God. It seems to me that's the whole point of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Trusting in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're 100% certain, you don't have to have faith. If it's 100%, you already know. Faith is, I don't know, but I'm trusting. What about Acts chapter 16? Remember Paul has that vision of a man who says, come over here and help us. And He knew he was to go to Macedonia. Now, why? I don't know. Was it the accent of the man when he said, come over here, hey, that's Greek, and it sounds like it's from that region? Did he have a T-shirt that said Macedonia? He knew it was Macedonia. He knew he needed to go that way. There was a man said, come help us. Who did he meet up with in Macedonia? A woman named Lydia. Things didn't work out real well, if you'll remember. He was thrown in jail. Then when they got out of jail, they got run out of town. But it was the will of God. But do you think he thought it was? Do you think he understood, hey, this is a great success? Doing God's will means taking the next step, whatever it is, without knowing a definite promise or an end result. Myth number two is God wants me to have 100% certainty before I make a decision. Third, myth number three, God's highest goal is my happiness. Well, this must be the will of God because I'm so happy about it. This must be the will of God because He wants me happy and fulfilled. I tell you, a lot of nonsense has been justified with that line of thought. There have been men who said, it was obviously God's will for me to cheat on my wife and divorce her and run off with this beautiful young woman because she so fulfills me. God's will is for us to be holy, not happy. Now understand what I'm saying. I'm not putting those in opposition to each other. I'm not saying, you know, you got a choice. You can either be happy or you can be holy, but you can't possibly be both. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, really, the only true happiness you'll ever know is when you're living the life God called you to live, which is a life of holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and he goes on to give those other things. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, here, mark it down, is assuredly the will of God for you, that you be holy. That's what it means to be sanctified. The will of God is not necessarily so you're going to be fulfilled and happy and have everything you want in the way you want it. It's not that God's goal for your life is unhappiness, but rather the true happiness that comes by doing what God made you to do. And that is a lifelong process of shaping you into the image of His Son. Myth number four. God makes it hard for you to find His will. It's a myth. The problem is in our expectation and our perspective. What is it you're looking for? What do you have to have before you say, I know the will of God? I mean, do you have to go to the mailbox and you're going rifling through your mail and there's a postcard that says, buy the Pontiac? Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Or you're watching your favorite program on television and the guy on the television turns, looks you in the eye and gives you a personal word. What is it you have to say, there, I know the will of God? We want the spectacular, or we want the clap of thunder, or we want the feeling, or we want the chill, or whatever that is that we're looking for, instead of understanding, I understand the will of God as I walk with Him today, and as I trust Him for today, and as I yield to Him today, I will walk in His will. We come back to where we started. God is more interested in your knowing His will than you are. Therefore, He takes personal responsibility in making sure you discover His will. I said there's not a formula, but I do want to give you one other principle that I think is very true. As you seek to live day by day and moment by moment in obedience to Him, I think you do need to understand that He will reveal His will to anyone who's willing to do it. He will reveal His will to anyone who's willing to do His will. Here's what I mean. I don't think that God is interested in coming to you and saying, sitting down at the table with you and saying, okay, look, here's my will. Let's negotiate. I don't think He's interested in revealing His will to you for your consideration. I think He reveals His will to you as you're ready to obey. So here's what I suggest. If it is your heart's desire to do the will of God, and you're willing to do whatever He requires of you, then do what you want to do. That's what I think it means to trust the will of God and the working of God in your life. If it's your sincere desire, if it is a longing of your heart, if it is the honest determination of your soul as best you understand it to do His will, then you pray about it, you get the information, and you do what you think is right. And I believe you'll walk in the will of God. It comes down to this. Do you want to know the will of God? And second, are you willing to be willing? If you're not, then don't blame Him if you don't know what His will is. Trust and obey. Walk in faith, trusting in His good and gracious guidance. Take your prayer sheet. Let's make you aware of a couple of things before we dismiss.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.